The sermon is, I was really nervous about it today because I actually had to write a sermon for a class this week, and we were given some scriptures to choose from, and so I went ahead and chose this one from Isaiah, and I kept thinking I needed to choose something different, but I kept coming back to Isaiah. So I wrote it on Monday. I'm just going to tell you, I never write sermons on Monday. I write them later in the week. So I had felt very unprepared all week because I had it written all week long. I kept thinking, gosh, should I have done something different? But I found out this morning exactly who this message was for. And so I know this was the message to give this week. And I know that the Lord chose Isaiah for this morning's scripture. And we're going to get to talk about, like I said, patience and assurance and all of these things just from this little passage from Isaiah. We were blessed this week that our daughter got a car. That's a blessing, amen. Also something we didn't name off. If you didn't know, we've been sharing a car for a while. And you know, sharing a car is not so much fun to do. So we were excited to have a new car in our household. But you know what you have to get when you get a car? Insurance. You have to go right out and buy insurance. And none of us like to have to pay for insurance, but it's something we have to do because we live in the Midwest, and how is it that we say goodbye in the Midwest? We say, watch for the deer. Our household has seen its share of deer. I think our Explorer saw two deer. We had a van, I don't even remember what it was now, that also met a deer. None of the cars that we've had meet deer have liked them very well. I know we've had, one of our kids has also met a deer with their car. So there's been at least four, I guess, at least four deer that we have come to know very well in our household. And our insurance has come to know them very well also. And then we've had multiple other things happen in our household where we have needed to have insurance. And so, you know, our insurance, I don't think they like us very much, but we have to have it just in case we need it. If we don't have it, we're not covered. In fact, my niece just this week was rear-ended by somebody who didn't have insurance. You know, and that's just not fun for anybody. We have to have it in case we lose our health, in case we lose our life, in case we lose our home, or in case we have something happen with our car. Insurance is what we get. And I imagine that if we consider the need for insurance, what we have regarding insurance might be fear. Fear we're going to need it. Fear of whatever it is that would cause us to have to fill out the forms. And fear is kind of a strange thing, isn't it? Can it make us do kind of interesting things when we're scared of something? Back when Brennan got his service dog, we were learning how to train the dog. And we had to use positive reinforcements because you wouldn't want that dog to become afraid, right? Because when a dog gets afraid, I think dogs are really great, or animals in general, are really great ways for us to consider feelings because they act on feelings and they just do. It's pure and it's natural and it's what it is. So if you have a dog and you scare them, they might show you that they're scared by tucking their little ears down or tucking their tail or hunkering or shying away or peeing on the floor. And the thing that they do when they feel extreme stress and extreme fear is they lash out and bite. Do we know people who have, maybe have not bite, but lash out in fear? When we're afraid, we lash out. So fear and extreme fear cause us to do things we wouldn't normally do and things we don't even think we would do. So we want to consider that. Consider fear and consider acting in fear as we ponder the life of King Ahaz. King Ahaz was the leader of Judah, which was of the house of David. You know, Israel, all of these people were of the house of David, and Israel and Judah were all part of the same tribe back in Abraham's time. And then those houses kind of split up. We can't imagine that, can we? Churches split, families split, people go different directions. And so the house of Israel had gone different directions, and Israel and Judah went different directions from each other. And that's kind of important for us to remember, because Judah is no longer part of Israel, even though they're Jewish people. But they're of the house of David. And so Israel and another nation called Aram joined forces and attacked Judah. And the reason they did that was because they were all afraid of the Assyrians. They were afraid of this large nation who might come and attack them. Assyria was powerful. Assyria was the scary guy. Like today, we see the Russian and Ukraine war, and Russia's a nation large enough that people are fearful, yes? And we see the attacks happening on the people in the Ukraine and how they're scared. And we see the destruction on the news, and we witness all of that, and we wonder, how would we feel if we lived there, where they are at war, where they are trying to be taken over, because Russia wants the Ukrainians to agree with them, right? And so this is what was happening in the time of Judah. In the time of Judah under King Ahaz, the Israel tribe and the Aram tribe wanted to come together, attack Judah, and say, we're attacking you until you decide to join our team. Because when you join our team, we can defeat the big scary guy who's Assyria. And so that's what they did, is they went in and they attacked them, but they weren't successful. Just like the wars that we see now. They went in with this confidence that they were going to take over Judah, but they weren't successful. Judah survived it. But the king, Ahaz, king of Judah, knew they'd be back. They're going to attack again. They're going to keep coming after us. Until we agree, until we decide that we're going to join them, they're going to come back. And so, if you lived in Judah, and you'd been attacked, and you knew it was coming again, how would you feel? Would you be scared? Would you worry for your home? Would you worry for your family members? And you got to think how you would act if you were scared that your nation was going to be attacked. Probably, we go to our leaders, our nation leaders, right? We would say, what are you going to do to protect us? How are you going to keep us safe? So the people of Judah had gone to Ahaz, and they wanted Ahaz to protect them. And Ahaz is probably scared too, right? If you're that king who's in charge of all these people and you know that your nation's going to be attacked again, you're a scared king. And so what he did was he came up with a plan. My people are counting on me. They need me to protect them. I've got to do something. So he's thinking, we've got these two small nations trying to overpower this big one that's scary. So maybe I should just go join this nation. See? Maybe I should just go align myself with Assyria, because then I can be big enough to keep these guys from hurting me. And so he decided that he was going to do that. He decided he was going to join with the Assyrian forces. He was going to buy insurance that he could beat Judah and Aram. But the problem is, Assyria is the bad guy. Assyria is known for being ruthless. They're known for being really mean. They're known for not being, you got Israel and Judah that are both Jewish nations who believe in God, and then you've got Assyria who believes in many gods, who worships all these deities, who doesn't live by the same sorts of beliefs. And so Assyria not only is the bad guy and the mean guy, but they also have very different beliefs. But he still thought, I think I'll go over here and join the Assyrians. Because he could only see the tiny picture of where he's at in his life. Unfortunately, as humans, we live in a very tiny square of time and space. But God sees the entire picture from beginning to end worldwide. And God sees more than we possibly can, right? And so even though King Ahaz is scared of what he can see happening right around him, God knows what's going to happen. And so God called Isaiah. Now, the book of Isaiah is actually split up into three parts, and the first part is Isaiah, the person, and that's the part that all happens before captivity, and then there's other prophets who wrote the latter two parts of Isaiah. So we're over here in the first part of Isaiah, written by him, and God calls upon Isaiah, and he says, go to King Ahaz, the leader of Judah, and say to him, to believe in me, to rely on me, and put his faith and his trust in me. And if he does, he won't have these things happen. None of this will come to pass. And so then we get to the text that we heard this morning. And God speaks through Isaiah to Ahaz and says, ask for a sign. If you ask for a sign, I will give you a sign. As low as the grave, as high as heaven, as big as small, anything in between. If you ask for a sign, I will give you a sign. and show you that I'm with you and that you don't have to buy this insurance policy. That's what God invited Ahaz to do. We like signs, don't we? Has anybody ever prayed for a sign? I'm telling you, that's why I said that this was the right scripture for today, because apparently someone earlier had prayed for a sign and had prayed about some specific words this morning and heard those words in church this morning. We need the signs, right? We ask God sometimes to give us a sign of something to come. Years ago, we went to church at Peculiar, and I remember this guy sitting on the other side of the sanctuary one Sunday saying that he was praying and he was asking God for some specific words so he would know he was on the right path. And his song changed on his radio, and the readout, the name of the song, was the words that he was praying for. We like signs. We like for God to tell us. And here, God is literally saying to Ahaz, ask me for a sign, and I will give you one. Wouldn't we love it if God invited us to do it? But he did, and what did Ahaz do? I'm good, I don't need it. Yeah, that's what Ahaz said. In that scripture, he said, I will not put my God to the test. And we think that's a good thing, right? When you first read it, you think, well, that's a good thing that God offers him an opportunity. He says, no, I'm not going to put God to the test. But we're going to come back to that because it's not what we think it is. It's not how it sounds when he says, I'm not going to ask for a sign. Actually, what it is, anybody in the room besides me, hard-headed? Would some of us admit to me? Okay. Have any of us ever made up our minds exactly what we're going to do, regardless of what other people thought? Yeah? And then we may make up our mind and think, I'm going to go do this. And then our neighbor says, I'm going to come over and I want to visit with you. And we know that neighbor's coming over to say, you oughtn't do that thing you've made up your mind to do. And we say, yeah, you don't need to come see me today. I'm good. Because we know what they're going to say. This is Isaiah. Isaiah is the neighbor. Ahaz is the hard-headed person who's made up his mind that he's going to do this thing. He's going to sign up with Assyria. And he has a pretty good idea that Isaiah is coming to talk him out of it. And so when God says, pray for a sign, he says, I don't really want a sign because I've already decided what I want to do. That's why he said that. It wasn't that he was being, the word that comes across in my notes is pious. He's not being pious. He's not saying, I don't want to do that to God. He's saying, I don't want God to influence my opinion right now because I've already got my opinion and I want to keep it. And so Isaiah responds. That's why it sounds so different in the next part. Isaiah responds to this denial with a warning saying, why then are you testing God's patience? That's what you're doing. You're testing the people and you're testing God's patience. Look, there will be a child born and he will be named Emmanuel. And we might find that part a little familiar, don't we? The child born will be Emmanuel. We recognize that as a traditional Christmas text. The New Testament writers echo this portion of the scripture where Isaiah is prophesying. It sounds like he's prophesying about Jesus. But you know, there isn't anything in the Bible. When we look at all the prophecies and we can look in the New Testament, we can see where the prophecies were fulfilled. It didn't just mean something in the future. It also meant something in the now. It meant something to the original people who heard the words of the prophet Isaiah. It meant something to the people of Jesus' time. And it means something today. And that's one of the wonderful and beautiful things about our scripture. So at that time, it meant something to the people. A lot of folks think that, a lot of scholars think that this was Isaiah's child, Isaiah's wife, who would have this baby and name the baby God with us. Because actually several of Isaiah's children were named for big reasons like that. They had names that meant something. And so most likely Isaiah's child was going to be born. And they wanted the people of Judah to hear that name, God with us now. God with us today. God with us against all the nations that would come against us. God is with us so we don't need to join the Assyrians. But we have to ask ourselves, even though God gave Ahaz all of this assurance, what happened? What's Paul Harvey's word, the rest of the story? What happened with Ahaz? If we look beyond today's scripture, and you kind of have to jump around, you know, our Bible wasn't written in chronological order. 2 Chronicles 28, 2 Kings chapter 16 and 17 tell us the rest of Ahaz's story. Unfortunately, it says, Ahaz walked in the way of the kings. The alternative would have been Ahaz walked with God. But Ahaz did not. He declined to listen to God. He walked in the ways of the kings. He relied on human powers. He bought the insurance. Literally. He went in to the temple, and they had all the silver that had been brought and dedicated to God and doing God's work. And he went into the temple, and he took the silver from the temple that had been offered to God, and he wrapped it up, and he sent it as a gift to the king of Assyria. He bought insurance. Didn't want to get beat up by these two smaller nations, so he bought in over here with the king of Assyria. And it cost him dearly. Now, it didn't happen immediately, but eventually these two other nations did come and attack Judah anyway and destroyed the lands. We know that over time their temples were destroyed, and we know that over time the people of Judah were taken captive by the Assyrians. You know, we have Israel was taken captive by the Babylonians, and Judah was taken by the Assyrians. And they had to live in captivity. So it cost him dearly because he acted out of fear. Today in our world, we do things that we can't imagine ourselves doing out of fear. Out of fear of failure, we give up doing the things that we are created to do. We might have had a plan that God had for us, but we're afraid to take those steps, and so we miss out. Our fear of failure to give up, our fear of rejection causes us to not approach people with the name of God because we're afraid they won't want to talk to us if we talk to them about God. Our fear causes us to not help those that we would help. Fear of missing out causes us to rush into doing things that we ought not do. And fear of loneliness causes us to reach out to people we ought not reach out to. If you remember, several years ago, we had this young man that came and spoke here at church, and he talked about his addiction issues. And when he was a youth, he used to say, the reason I keep falling back into addiction is because the people who talk to me are the people I oughtn't be talking to, but all of the other folks don't want to talk to me. Fear of loneliness causes us to reach where we shouldn't reach. Fear is destructive, and it can get in our way of our relationship with the Creator. Ahaz let fear separate him from God. So what do we do about it? How can we overcome the impulse to run out and buy a risky and expensive insurance policy rather than leaning on the assurance of God? I suppose I should have put a disclaimer in here that says, do carry car insurance and all of those others. I'm talking about risky insurance. How can we learn from Ahaz and what he did? For one, we can look at the scripture. Like I said, it meant something then. It meant something in the time of Jesus. And it means something now. It means a lot now. If we can go back and see the repeated mistakes, then maybe we wouldn't have to fall into the same problems. We can study the word. We can talk about it with one another. That's why we have the book. We can pray for guidance. Like the person who prayed this morning before church for specific words to be heard in church and then came and heard them. Then maybe one of the biggest words of wisdom I can hand you today is the hardest one, patience. Yeah, patience. I remember coming to this very church, to this very basement, and I'm trying to remember which pastor we had that taught us prayer, taught us all these different kinds of prayer. Does anybody remember those classes? And I remember they asked us what we were each going to pray for, and I said, well, I keep praying for patience. And that particular pastor said, oh, you don't want to pray for that, because you know how you get patience? You get tested. So don't pray for patience unless you really want God to test you, because that's how you're going to learn it. Have patience with God. Have patience that God's plan will reveal itself at the right time. We buy insurance because we want to get paid back now. We decide that we want everything. I've heard this term before. We live in a microwave society because we want everything to be done and ready in 3 seconds. We want now, but patience in God's time says God will do things at the right time, not immediately. Not only are we folks who rely on it, we want it. So we have to learn to be patient and trust that God's way will be revealed. Now, when I write sermons, oftentimes I have that picture in my head of what a sermon would look like if it were a painting. And in my mind's eye, I see a path, a very obvious path that is our lives. And there's definitely a place for us to walk, and we can see the way. But as we go on that path, there is a forest ahead and vines. And as our feet reach the end, we think there's nowhere left to go. But as we pray, God's way is revealed. And just when it looks like there's nothing left to follow, a little of the path clears away. Maybe we're meant to stop for a minute, but I think ultimately it's not that we're supposed to stop. We're just supposed to slow down, be more patient, and take our time with God. It's easy to get caught up in the fears of the world because we see them on the news, we see them in the headlines, we see them on social media. We see the world's messages in yard signs. We see the world's messages in our politically driven entertainment, whether it be music or TV shows. It's all there all the time. It's easy to give in to worry. It's easy to give up on our calling. And it's easy to react in fear. But what if today we take the time? And in the days to come, we take the time. We search the Word. We pray for God's plan. And then we have patience for God's timing. And we rest assured that through God, we will see victory over all of the emergencies that life keeps telling us to avoid. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your Word, that it brings to us today the messages from hundreds, if not thousands of years ago, that we can look back at it. We can see the things that people have struggled with their whole lives, and for one, not feel alone, not feel like the world's problems are brand new news to you, because Lord, you already know. Lord, we thank you that we can look at your Word and pray for your guidance, and that you will lead us on down the path even when we can't see what's on the other side of the trees. Lord, may we be patient with you. Be patient with life and with ourselves. May we lean on your assurance rather than running out and fearfully seeking the world's insurance, because it's not the same. Lord, may we draw closer to you and remain there, having faith and patience with you. Lord, we just love you. We thank you for all of this that you've given us. In your name, we pray.